It's hard to find a silver lining amidst such heartbreaking news. We are disappointed in the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. It's more important now than ever before to elect politicians who respect that reproductive health care is a human right.
Both Lynn and I are reflecting on ways we can make an impact, and we'd encourage you all to do the same, whether that's through a donation or volunteering. We are looking to support organizations like Planned Parenthood, I Need an A, and the United States of Women.
Most importantly, please make a plan to vote today. Register to vote if you haven't, and write down your plan for getting to the ballot box in November.
We're thinking about you all and sending our best wishes to everyone in the Snacks fam.
What's so moving and powerful with Allie and I is we don't overthink it. We just are genuinely us. Mm-hmm. Like every day we show up, and for so long we had to hide like our love and our relationship and who we were and like how we expressed ourselves for so long because of the environment, because of our job. Like I feel like when we were able to just be free and open and honest and say, hey, this is who we are, like take it or leave it, sorry, but it's really the day we started living, like honestly, because for so long, like there was an elephant on our back or in the room and it was like, this is so dumb, like we're wasting so much of our life living a lie, like what are we even doing? So now, like, you know, it's funny when people are like, role model this or role model. Honestly, I just live my truth every day.
Meet me. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Lynn Williams.
And I'm Sam Lewis, and this is Snacks, where we talk about some personal stuff, some soccer stuff, some real stuff, and some fun stuff. So, Lynn, what's new since the last podcast?
Well, I really feel like we should start with you. I don't know why, for flow purposes.
Let's start with me.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. So let's start with you.
Cool. Okay. Well, our last podcast was Andy and it was great. Mm-hmm. And since then, my friend Brandon came to visit. So we naturally did all of the things that we always do, all of our favorite things. We went to the Iron District. We went to Barquet. We went to Corvino. We went to First Watch. I really wanted to give him the full Kansas City experience, and I think we were successful.
Nice. We also, not with Brandon, we went to Parlor, and I felt like that was kind of like an indoor Iron District.
I would agree.
So I want to go back there.
So do I. I think that would be really fun.
Let's make a plan.
Tonight, our plan is to make pizza with my homemade sourdough starter. So I am pretty excited about that, but it turns out that that's probably going to be the best ingredient available because it's basically a pizza cludge, a pizza fridge clean out. So the dough is going to be good, but everything else is going to be old and maybe a little bit off.
Well, my bell peppers and onion will also be new. So,
okay. Well, I hope it is good.
But honestly, same.
In other news, Lynn, tell everybody about our messenger appearance.
Well, I just wanted to say that me and Sam and Jenna and Addie went to Messenger for an appearance because Messenger is creating a blend for the team, a bean blend, if you will. And so we got to go taste
coffee.
We got to go taste
a three bean dip.
Messenger's just putting out bean dip.
Imagine. Well, I don't know if everybody knows what Messenger is.
Oh, fair enough.
If we have a listener from
Iowa. You make a great point. Okay.
Hello, Iowa. How are you all doing today?
Greetings.
Thank you for listening to Snacks, Iowa.
Anyway, we got to taste the blend and then we also got to taste the beans that were in the blend. And I feel like I learned a lot about coffee. I just wanted to tell everybody that apparently a coffee bean comes from a cherry, which was mind blowing to me. Not like a cherry that we eat, but they call them cherries.
Yeah.
What else did we learn? You tell me what you learned.
Well, I learned that, you know, when they write on the bag, the notes of coffee tasting, they'll say this coffee bean is nutty and fruit aromas and notes of tree bark. And then you'll be like, oh, interesting. It's kind of like wine in that, like, you're supposed to get these like notes. But so in my head, I was like, they must roast the coffee beans with like chocolate and tree bark, but they don't. It's just like when they taste the coffee, the coffee makers, the people at, I don't know, Messenger, they like a bunch of them will go around the room and do the tasting and write down their notes. And then they'll all like compare notes and see what the other people tasted. So like, it was a much more like creative and free process than I had imagined. Like there isn't literally chocolate in there. It's just like similar to wine. You might get like notes of chocolate based on like a memory or like a random taste chemical.
So it's individual to each human.
Yeah.
I know. I thought that was surprising too. I also thought it was, I didn't know this, that coffee was only derived from specific places. I know this sounds dumb, but like it only is naturally grown in like Ethiopia and naturally I can't think of any place else.
I think it was only the two places. I think it was Ethiopia and one other place. And then it was brought to other places.
Which like, is crazy because in my mind, I'm like, Colombia has great coffee, which they might, but in my head, I'm just like, oh, it must have like derived from there, but it didn't at all.
I know, unless Colombia is the other place that we forgot.
That is, I don't think it is, but
I don't think it is either. But it was very interesting. We learned so much about coffee and like its origins. And we're really excited about the partnership with Messenger with our team because they seem like such great
partners.
And they just seem like such great, like they really like are passionate about where they get it from and caring for it and respecting it. And like,
yeah,
I mean, they taught us a lot.
Another thing, this is the last thing I'll say, because there was a lot of stuff that I learned, but that a lot of people think that dark roasted beans and light roasted beans, you'll get more caffeine through one. And that's a myth.
Myth.
So we are now myth busters. Okay. Now you can go to your.
Our facility is open. Our beautiful Kansas City Current only facility, fields, gym, training room, ice bath, locker room, meal room, offices area,
steam room
is open. And we've been training out of it. And it is literally so life-changing. I had the most wonderful day today, the most wonderful, convenient day. Worked hard, showered, did my gym, did my treatment, ate my lunch. I like purposely ate my lunch sitting alone at a table in the meal room because I was like, this is here. So I'm going to use it. I'm going to eat my lunch here.
I ate my lunch alone too in there, which is so funny. I was just like, I don't want to take this home. Like, why am I rushing home? And I also don't want to like eat it in the car. I might as well eat it in this room.
I'm going
to
eat
it. It was designed for us to eat in.
I'm just so thrilled. It's so incredible. Yeah. I had a little like media thing after, and I was just saying like, it's going to be such like a magnet for talent, like both on the field and in the staff, like people should want to come here. Like this facility is worth leaving your job and coming here and working out because it's so amazing. And it's just going to like make the quality and like the resources that we have and like the product that we put out is going to be so, what is my vocabulary?
I just think that enhanced. Like it's pretty incredible. Like now, like not that I haven't felt like a professional before, but like being in the facility and being able to like go do my rehab in the morning and then shower or go eat breakfast and then do another portion of rehab and then and like having everything like in one spot, I think for the first time feel like, oh wow, like this is what professional sports is, this is what it should be. Not saying that like you, I don't know, you just like it's so enhanced, like you said, like it's just a place that like you can get all your stuff done and like it's going to be so conducive to hopefully success.
Yes, that's the words I was trying to say.
Oh my gosh. Another thing that has been happening to me and Sam a lot is we keep doing the same things.
Oh yeah. We already told them about the sneakers, I think.
Yeah. And then, so me and Sam have decided to get our eating act together because we have let our hair down for far too long. And the other day I went over And let me tell you, I haven't eaten an apple in probably forever. And I go over to Sam's house and I'm like, all right, let's go. And I have an apple and she has an already like washed, wrapped apple in a paper towel ready to eat. And I'm like, what the heck? Why are we both eating? And I think it was the same kind of apple too.
Well, Lynn, you say this all the time. You become the people you hang out with. And inevitably, we were bound to start making all the same decisions about everything all the time.
That's fair.
And basically doing all the same things. But it has been pretty funny sometimes to realize that randomly we'll just be like, wow, I literally did the exact same thing.
We are the same. Same brain. Insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have an awesome episode coming out to you all today. And it is sadly the last episode of season 3, but it has very special guests. But before we get to them, we wanted to just do a little chit chat about
reflection
section.
Okay. Well, do you want to tell me what you thought about season 3 so far?
Yeah, I do. I think that season 3 has been so much fun. Starting it out in person, getting everybody all caught up on what we've been up to. I think we are still like learning, but I think we've like come a long way since the beginning. And it has been, I think, so fun for me specifically this season because being injured has been a big adversity in my life and was like a challenge on, I think, like my sense of like that, like what I was bringing to the table and what was like fulfilling me. And because I wasn't getting all those like rewards that I'm used to getting on the field that like, oh, Sam, you are valuable and you are fulfilled by soccer. I was kind of like getting it this season through the podcast. And I think in the past doing stuff like this has always felt like an obligation. It's felt like something that, well, you have to do and something that like, I guess I would have viewed as like a task. And I just think that this season, whether it was because I've become very passionate about podcasting or because I was going through something else in my life where I needed this outlet, it's been like actually really like therapeutic for me to have. And I really look forward to recording and I look forward to thinking about what we should talk about and what we should ask our guests. And I just feel like at a time where I really needed it, I got a lot of value and fulfillment out of doing the podcast. And I wanted to share that with our listeners.
That's amazing. I would agree. I think that, well, one, I think the podcast has grown a lot. I think in the past, maybe one or two people would say, I listen to your podcast, but now, there's been so many more people that have, said, I listen to your podcast or my mom listens to your podcast or so on and so on and so on. And one, I think that's incredible. And I can't wait to see, where the podcast is going to go. But I also think that this season was a little bit different. I think that we interviewed people that we hadn't necessarily interviewed in the past. Maybe people's stories that we didn't know as much. So I know you mentioned this at one of the episodes where we would have to like Google our guests. And I think that's really cool. Like getting to know more people, getting to know what people like makes people tick. But I also think that being in professional soccer for, I feel like we've been in here for like a long time, short, but long, if that makes any sense. And so for the most part, I feel like we found our groove, we found our way, like we know what it takes to like get our bodies back on the field, like what to eat, all these things, but there's so much about the mental side that you go up and down with. And I feel like our guests on the podcast made me think a lot more about like, not just soccer, but life and how they go about life and what they think about life that is like valuable or adversities that they're going through and how they got through it. And I think that sometimes like we are looked to be the people of inspiration, but I think it's cool to know that somebody who is in the same field of work as us can inspire us still. I just thought that was so cool this season. And I hope that that continues to go on, in season 4, 5, 6, however many we're going to do. But that's what I loved so much about this season.
Yeah, I love that too, Lynn. I think that was really, it was really fun interviewing people that maybe we hadn't had those conversations with yet.
Yeah.
And then, I also was going to say, I felt like this season was, I got this sense every time we had a guest on that I had gotten to like catch up with them. And I also, maybe it's because we've been away from the national team, or maybe just because, like, obviously in this life we live that we go a long time without seeing some of our friends. But like, there were a few episodes that I was like, this was just a catch up. Like this was just naturally, if we were FaceTiming, not recording, this is what we would have talked about anyway. And I thought that was really cool. I thought that was like an interesting element where it felt, some of them felt so natural and so easy. And just, it was our authentic friendship with that person.
I know. And I feel like in our previous seasons, we wanted it to feel like light and airy and fun, and also had like a deep portion. But we talked about this before, like we have a little sheet that we go over, and sometimes we would get caught up and being like, we have to ask the next question. And this season, I think we were definitely like, okay, well, what is the person actually saying? And how can we ask a question off of what they're saying, not just what we have written down? So I hope that the listeners felt like that was more authentic because of that as well. But you're right. I do feel like with Andy's, I'm just going to talk about hers because it was the last one, but it was such like a good catch up. But I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I haven't talked to you in a while. Like what's going on?
I know. I felt the exact same way. And this episode coming up too was very similar. I feel like it was so great to catch up with them and
I know
hear a little bit about their lives. So I'm very excited for everyone to listen to that. Do you have any like special ideas for season 4 that you are wanting to share now?
Not really. Do you?
Well, I mean, I don't want to like, I don't know if we should include this and hold us to it, but I like kind of really want to have our moms on.
Oh, I know. That is true. I know. We do want to have our moms on. I know this is just women's sports, but I also think it would be interesting if we had our dads on and how they've raised pretty incredible women, strong women, I would say. So I think that would be a unique twist. Maybe we'll have to run that by some people.
Yes.
But yeah, I definitely want our moms on. I think that they would be such a funny time. And then the listeners can tell us if we are like our mothers or not.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I would love that. I would love to hear that. So this is the last episode of season 3. Please continue to tweet us with #AskSnacks and #TellSnacks with your favorite moments from season 3 and what you want to see in season 4. And now for our last round of #AskSnacks questions for this season.
EHEN17 asks Snacks, which player do you want to play with before they retire?
Oh my gosh, I think I would have wanted to play with Mia Hamm.
Yeah.
Wouldn't everybody?
Yeah. I mean, you've said that a million times and same. I like had her books and everything.
I know. It's like, if it's not Mia Hamm,
then who is it really?
Then you weren't born in 1992 or 1993 looking up to the US Women's National Team. Oh, from Samantha at Shades of Kaler. #AskSnacks, what was the craziest prank someone played on you / someone else at a USWNT camp? Oh, I'll tell a story. I got pranked one time. One time we were in, I want to say Denver, and Rose and Sonnet, I texted them being, we had dinner off, and I texted them at like in the like late afternoon, just being like, what are we doing for dinner? And they texted back in the group, Sam, sorry, we already left to go to downtown Denver or something with a bunch of other people. Come and meet us. And I go, ha ha, it's okay. And then in another text, I go, have fun. And I was like, so hurt. Like I was devastated. I was like, okay, I'm going to like get dinner by myself. My friends didn't invite me, left me, abandoned me. They were kidding. They did not abandon me. And I got busted saying, ha ha, it's okay. Have fun. So now that's a big running joke, but it was a great prank because it cut me to my core.
Yeah. That was just like kind of sad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there was like a time where there was a lot of like scaring going on.
Mm-hmm.
and people popping out of everywhere. This is like a, also like a sad prank that has to do with you. So you can, we can X this out if you don't want. Oh. But you were late to a meeting once.
Oh yeah. We can tell it. Okay. And they locked the door on me. So the way the like pregame meeting will be always 15 minutes before the pregame meal. And so I just like mixed them up and I thought that the meeting, this happened to me literally one time. It will never happen again. I thought that the meeting started when the meal started. So I was going to be 15 minutes late to the meeting and somebody called me and told me to run down. We were in like Sweden and I ran down, but like the elevator wasn't working. My hair was down. I was like wearing my like pajama outfit and I went to barge into the meeting room. I ended up being only a minute or two late, but obviously they had locked the door to further embarrass me. And it, I mean, it was funny. Like Jill was the coach at the time and she was laughing. It like, wasn't a big deal, but I was horrified. I think there's a video of me.
Yeah. I've never seen you look more like disheveled.
Oh my God.
In your life.
Yeah. When I'm on my own, I really do. I can look very disheveled.
Well, you were also just like, your hair was wet. You like looked so comfy, but then you were like, oh my God, guys, I'm so sorry. Yeah. So I was like, she is unwell. She went from like being so well to unwell so quickly.
I wanted everybody to just like literally ignore it and move on with the meeting. But naturally everybody had to like laugh about it for a while and stare at me. And I was literally just like, can we focus here, you guys?
Another great prank.
Yeah. I basically pranked myself.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, stay tuned and listen to our guest and enjoy the last episode.
Yes. Thank you so much, everybody. We love you.
Our weird little club.
I did this for far too long.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Okay. We are so excited to bring on today's guests. These two basically don't need an introduction. They are icons, fan favorites, World Cup champions, literal fashion queens, moms. I don't even know if we could keep going. We obviously could, but Gotham girls, it is Ashlyn Harris and Allie Krieger.
Welcome to the show.
Yay. Thank you guys so much for being on.
Thanks for having us.
We miss you both. We miss you guys.
I know. We're so excited to talk with you. First, I just wanted to say, I just listened to your podcast you did with Glennon and Abby. I didn't want to repeat any questions on here, so I wanted to do some research, some background, and figure out what we should be asking you about. But I did just want to send all of our listeners over there to listen to that We Can Do Hard Things with Glennon and Abby, because it was so great. I learned so much. It was like so incredible to listen to you guys. And I feel like I got a little bit of you in my life. So I would love all the Snacks listeners to go listen to that one. And then we're going to go from there and start our interview with you now.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. It was so wonderful to hang out with them. And yeah, we got some good insight as well. So
I know they're the best. Tell us, how is Sloan?
Oh my God. She's so great. Good. This is the best age right now. She's 16 months. She's yakking. She's walking. She is bossy. She's got personality. She's laughing. Funny.
She's happy.
So unlike you two.
I know. Yeah. Just the worst. Oh yeah. But yeah, she's like awesome. We're like loving being moms so much.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Age. Wow. Yeah. Well, how was the move from Orlando to Gotham? Do you have two dogs?
Yeah.
And a baby.
Yeah.
And a nanny. We've got Deb here.
Deb.
You got a lot going on, girls.
Wait, Deb, like your mom?
Yeah. Yes. She's
what?
Yeah. We have like a nanny suite in the house and she just hangs out.
Wow. That's amazing.
Is she loving it?
Here.
Love it. We love it. Honestly, we're on fumes because we wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
But we're working a ton. Like,
there's so many opportunities.
This is the mecca of like everything I've ever wanted to do. Like,
I know, Allie fashion. And
I'm like,
yeah.
Twist my arm. Like, do thriving. I need to get dressed and ready for another event? Yes.
when your worst nightmare. Carpet were there.
Yeah. Well, I know you too.
I mean, you can imagine Ash, she's just like in heaven.
Oh, I'm living my like just my best life.
I mean, are you shopping?
Oh, it's bad. My credit cards are on fire.
Okay, we have our child's education to pay for. We need to,
she got to work harder.
Tone it down.
Yeah. Okay, so like, what's your favorite New York City stuff? Like, what's your favorite way to spend an off day? Perfect day.
Going to Sugarfish.
Yeah, we love to go into Soho and just like chill, walk around. They have beautiful cafes. Shop. We love our sushi. We, of course, we love our shopping. But yeah, that's like a fun day for us. Like, mm-hmm. I love the restaurants. There's just like, you can go do something new every day. Time yeah, you go.
That's amazing.
The city's just so,
it like, never feels the same.
It's inspiring to be there.
Do you bop Sloan around in a stroller in the city?
She's, we have.
Mm-hmm.
That girl. Oh, yeah, bop, little head bopping just, around.
Yeah, laying back, just looking at the sights and the scenes.
Take me to the city.
She's in school now, so it's like, she's so freaking cute. Like, yeah. I'm obsessed with her. Every second I'm not with her, I'm like, where is she? Can we go pick her up?
Yeah.
She's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. How is the team adjusting to having her?
They've been amazing. Her. They like love her so much and just want to be with her all the time. They're like, why didn't you come to training today?
Yeah, they're like, we love you, but like, where's Sloan?
Yeah, they're like, this is bullshit. You guys, go get her.
Like, that is so funny. Back home.
The team has been like so incredible. The girls come over all the time, like to go pick her up from school, mm-hmm. or to watch, yesterday they watched Disney movies with her. Oh. I mean, they're so present and it's really sweet. We're lucky.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that for you guys. We want to talk about the adoption process and like how quickly it happened for you guys. So obviously me and Sam, I think you were there, right? The room when they told us. So you guys told us at a camp.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. I think everybody was shocked. Like, wait, what? We like knew you guys were thinking about adopting a baby, but then it just, everything happened so quick. And can you guys talk about it?
Yeah. For yeah. Sure. So we had always like a part of who we are in our relationship. We always spoke about wanting to adopt first,
mm-hmm.
because we thought that was important in terms of the timeline. We thought like before we either had a baby or anything like that, we wanted to have our adopted child feel that unconditional love by themselves first.
Mm-hmm.
We were in camp, we were prepping for the Olympics, and then COVID hit. And that kind of pushed our timeline. Mm-hmm. We wanted to go to the Olympics and then have a proper, like, thank you, this has been a great 10 to 12 years, mm-hmm. like it's time to go. So we thought we'd start the process because we were scared if we kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, it might take a really long time, which most people in the adoption process knows it's a really, really tough thing to go through. It's really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out, did a home study visit, didn't really know what we were doing, didn't think much of it. All the people we spoke to were like, oh, it took me 3 years. Oh, it took me a year and a half. Oh, this is my second year and still no luck. So, we were like, okay, we really need to start this now because mm-hmm. we don't want to retire and then be in this like awful 2 year, 3 year grind.
Mm-hmm.
We put our names in, did all the things, and, we got a phone call within 3 weeks and we were like, we have a potential birth mom mm-hmm. who is looking for a same-sex female couple. And we were just like, our ears were like, bing, eyes
that's
wide
us!
Open.
And I was like, well, we checked that first box.
We're literally our lives where we looked at each other and we're like, can we do this?
Wait, like when is she born?
That's so interesting.
Like, in a few months?
Well, they didn't even know. They were like, she could be born in December, January, or February. And we're like, great, how am I supposed to tell Blacko this?
I mean, and it was like, we just kind of kept it to ourselves through the fall series because that was the first time we had camp in Denver, I think that October. And then we didn't go on the November trip. So we had some time to like figure everything out. But it was at that camp that we actually solidified the adoption.
We went into camp for 1 week and we were like, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were like, it's time.
We'll just like figure it out later, but this is what we really want. We thought it would be like years. We didn't think this would be like months. So we just got to like step it into gear and figure it out. And so then, January camp came. That was the last time we were in. And we had told the team and we told Blacko. And
also everyone, not to like get off track, but like we weren't sure if the baby was going to come in January.
Like end of December or January.
Oh,
like
I remember this. You guys were like, she could be born any day. And we have bags packed. And I was
we had our bags packed. What? We had the stroller. We had the car seat. We were ready to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then we just finished the camp. That was when we were in Orlando, I think, and played Columbia and then like went home. And
I think we told the team then. I know we told the team early, but the rest of the team we told, I think, in January.
And so that was amazing that everyone kind of kept it quiet. And then the next thing you know, she was born February 12th. Yeah. And that was, I think, during the She Believes camp that you guys were at.
It was the She Believes, so
it just like worked out perfectly.
So did you go take her home from the hospital?
Yeah, were you in the room?
Yeah, we were, we got the call that she was going to be induced. And so it was only an hour and a half away to Tampa. So we drove down and
I was like, this is it.
What were you? Like, were you okay, like, our baby's being born? Is that like what you were saying?
I was panicked.
And so we show up and honestly, like we just had laid down. We were in the room next to the birth mom so that we could kind of, she allowed us to, you know, share the process with her and Sloan at the time. So that was actually nice. Not everyone gets that opportunity.
Yeah.
You kind of just show up and hope that, you know, 48 hours later, you're still going to have this chance to be, you know,
that's adoptive parents. Too.
Yeah. Because in the state of Florida, they can still decide within 48 hours if they want to keep the child.
Talking about being anxious and nervous.
Were your hopes all the way up or were you like a little bit reserved? Like this could change.
Secretly. Yes. But we have to stay on the ground because like this, we could just drive home with an empty car.
Yeah.
We just need to like, you know, think of both possibilities right now. We can't just like put all of our eggs in one basket. Cause then we're going to be so like, we would be upset anyway, but
yeah.
We were going to be even more devastated. Yeah.
I just want to say, I think it's so interesting, but so cool that she was like, I want a same-sex female relationship. And I know we have so far to go when it comes to same-sex marriage and everything, but I just think that it shouldn't matter in the first place, but I just think it's cool that to see like in my lifetime, how far we've come and that somebody was like, no, this is what I want for my future child, or like I can't give them something and I want this specific type of couple to give them that.
Yeah. And we actually asked her
because we wanted to know.
I wanted to know as well, and Allie wanted to know, because we actually met before Sloan was born a few times. Mm-hmm. And we actually started,
took her to dinner.
Yeah, we had a great relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I just never understood why it was always so hard for same-sex couples to adopt children. Mm. And like, she was like, I feel that you guys like deserve love and happiness in a family too. Like, it's actually so powerful and incredible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy for you guys.
I know. Oh, it's so wonderful. That is just the coolest story. This actually leads us right into our next question as far as like visibility for female athletes, for LGBTQ individuals. You guys are such important, I feel like, icons in that space. And so many people look up to you to be examples of like what that looks like, what happiness looks like. Do you ever feel like extra obligated to be the right role models in those spaces? Or is it like more of an honor than a responsibility?
I think, honestly, I think what's so moving and powerful with Allie and I is we don't overthink it. We just are genuinely us. Mm-hmm. Like every day we show up, and for so long we had to hide like our love and our relationship and who we were and like how we expressed ourselves for so long because of the environment, because of our job. Like I feel like when we were able to just be free and open and honest and say, hey, this is who we are. Like, take it or leave it. Sorry. But it's really the day we started living, like, honestly, because for so long, like there was an elephant on our back or in the room. And it was like, this is so dumb. Like we're wasting so much of our life living a lie. Like, what are we even doing? So now like you know, it's funny when people are like, role model this or role model. Honestly, I just live my truth every day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to piss people off along the way. I'm going to say the wrong things. I'm going to rub people wrong. But no matter what, like, I feel like we're just us. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just me every day. That's it. That's all I can do.
I feel like that's why people love you guys so much, is because it is so authentic and so real. And you're mm-hmm. both so honest and vulnerable about mm-hmm. the hard things, the great things that I'm so happy for you that you are like living exactly as you want to now. And I feel like it's just so people connect to that because it's so authentically you guys, your love is so real and it's so cool that you show us all that.
Well, yeah, I also think that it's like so cool and people can relate to it because somebody's probably struggling and dealing with that. And you guys like are just like a light in like a very dark world sometimes of like, they're just being themselves. And if they can do it, why can't I do it? If somebody at like on a huge stage and might get scrutiny is going to say, you know what, fuck that. Like, I'm just going to be me. Like, why can't I do this? And it's so inspirational, girls.
Hey,
I appreciate that.
I agree with you in the sense that we're just like being who we are. But I also think it's so attractive that you can be vulnerable and you can be honest and you can be raw and you can tell the truth and live your life authentically, because that's how people relate to you most. Even in the dark moments, like it's okay to show darkness. And I feel like that's how we make better connections with people, because people need people, like Ash always says this. And even at games, like you talk to supporters and fans and they're like, thank you for sharing your story and just kind of having the family that you have that I can show my daughters and my wife or and my husband that like we are a normal family too. And that my kids see that. And I'm like, well, and then I'm thanking them because I'm like, well, thank you for being an inspiration for us, because seeing more of, you know, a family like ours is so refreshing. And so I think just building those relationships and that connection with fans is so important, because they see you as a normal human being and you're not just, you know, the Sam Mewis or the Lynn Williams of the US women's national team and women's soccer. It's actually like, no, I see the Sam and I see Lynn and like, that's what's important at the end of the day, is that connection that you have as an individual and a human being, not the footballer.
Yeah. I think the people that are so like whole and like well-rounded are the people that can reels like soccer is amazing, but it's not all that we do. It's not, it's only like, honestly, this much of our lives, and it's a cool part of our lives, but there's so much more to us than that. Right. So I just wanted to ask you guys, like, is there anything else off the field that you guys have found yourself drawn to that you might want to venture into post soccer?
Yeah, Lynn, and also with that, what I'll like, I think is a really important thing that people should hear is like, soccer is just what we do. It's not who we are. I think that's where the weird like connection, like people think like the Ashlyn Harris who plays soccer, like that's just my job. I'm literally an entertainer. Like that, like my gift is genuinely seeing people and meeting them in life where they're at. And that's like my biggest thing, and not to go backwards, but like when I meet someone, I have that one interaction that person will carry for the rest of their life. That's their one impression of me. And that is something that I think about everywhere I go and every person I meet. Like I know what it's like to wait my whole life to meet my idol and then be just so let down and disappointed, like the way it went or the way I was just kind of like brushed off. And that is like the, like, if I could give any of you guys and young players, that is like to be able to genuinely look at someone in the eyes and see them and like ask them how they are, or like ask to share like a small story or storytelling. That is like life. That is the meaning of life, like true connection. Yeah. And I think as I've gotten older, I've understood it, and it is a part of who I am now. And that's like something I don't take for granted, is all the people that show up every single week to support us. And I make sure they come back, and it's just meeting them with where they're at in life and hoping that I'm creating a safe space for them to show up and like live their truth like I've been able to do.
I love that. Yeah, that's amazing. I think that like response to the fans, Ashlyn, is partly why, I mean, you're one of the reasons why the NWSL is doing so well, is because you kind of take that responsibility and you say, I value these people who come and support us so much. I want to make them feel appreciated. And with people like you doing that, I think that the success of the league is inevitable. So I'm very glad that we have you both.
Thanks.
The passion that they share too, like, is also refreshing, because fans love the game just as much, if not more, than we do. And like, they're so passionate about the game, and we love it too so much. So you automatically have something to share with them. But then it's like the extra layer that Ash was talking about, and like taking that time and moment to really see them, like you mentioned, and seeing her speak to fans, and also fans speaking to me and being like, hey, can you go get Ash? and can you tell Kyle hi? And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. I'm just going to go shower.
Love you.
No, but it's real and it's honest and it's authentic. And that's, yeah, it's just great. We're really
proud. I know.
It's amazing.
I feel like I sometimes just get shocked when people want to talk to me. Like, I'm like, okay. Yeah, sure. Like, I think that's so important, like, meet people where they are. And I also think that, like, you're right. Like,
yeah,
you only have one moment to make a first impression. Mm-hmm. And it would be so shitty to, like, if you had an idol and they were like such an asshole, like, that would be so terrible.
Yeah.
But I think that we need just to be like that for everybody. Like, why would you ever be mean to somebody
right.
for any reason?
Right.
But I guess, like, sometimes I just still get shocked that, like, people will yell my name. I'm just like, I'm just Lynn. Like, I'm just a human being, and I just have this specific talent to play soccer. But, like, you might be, like, I meet so many cool people that are like, I'm an engineer for da 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 da. And I'm like, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, we just happen to do it on a stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think people should remember that. Like, we all have different talents. Like, it's
for sure. For sure.
And time is our greatest gift, and it costs nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? So show up for the people around you, show up for your community, show up. These people take time and travel and see
money.
Us and support us. Mm-hmm. Take time.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. So we know you are a part of Allies Watch the Game, Change the Game campaign. It's a campaign with a call to action we can all get behind. We know the more you watch women's sports, the more investment and excitement pours into the space. You've both helped build this league from the ground up, so we have some questions for you about the history of the NWSL and the future of women's soccer. You've both played in the predecessor leagues to the NWSL, but they only lasted a few years. What has made the NWSL different?
Great question. I think the fans and support has been tremendous. I think the money being put into the league and the sponsorships and just everyone's overall care that this is going to survive has really made a huge impact. And then obviously the players, the personnel, you know, we've I think created, all of us have created each and every year just so much more excitement, and the technical ability and just the tactical ability and just the overall awareness that every player has to really continue to fight for this league and to put a great performance out there in order to get people to keep being interested and come back. I think those are two main things for me that I feel like the NWSL has done really well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? So when you think about winning the World Cup in 2015 and 2019, there, during both of them, there was so much buzz. There was like such a worldwide, nationwide, like, holy smokes, this is really something special.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that there was so much revenue that was going on, and there was so much money to be made on the women's side, that like people didn't realize the marketing dollars were there. The fan base was there. It was almost like there's really something here we can take and run with it. So it's like, how could we, I've been saying this forever, like, how can we steal that secret cocktail and like insert it into the NWSL? Yeah. Because when we're playing with the national team, no matter where we go, we're a traveling circus. There's 60,000 people in the stadium. Mm-hmm. There's people going nuts for us. Like, it was always a part of like who we were. We had this winning mentality. We had all, you know, all of these sponsors, and there was so much buzz about us. Mm-hmm. So it was like, okay, so how can we take that type of culture and put it in our backyards, yeah, in every city, and get people to show up and create, like, continue that, mm-hmm, momentum and that buzz? I think that's what we're on, like, on the brink of right now. We're like trying to get there. We're not quite there yet, but we're, mm-hmm, climbing, and like slowly people are seeing when there's more investment, there's more people in the stands, there's more people watching, there's, mm-hmm, more people showing up. It's all a part of the cocktail.
Yeah. And I think you definitely see that with like Angel City coming in and like how many fans they're getting and how much investment they put in, not just on the field, but outside, and making sure it was like this big experience. Mm-hmm. So this year is the 50th anniversary of Title IX, a piece of legislation that had an impact on all of our lives. When you see players coming into the NWSL today, what's the biggest difference between their rookie experience and yours?
Well, my paycheck was $600 a month. Please.
And we have to
go broke.
We wait our turn for years in order to get a start. So maybe not at the club level, but definitely national team. But I think the rookies coming into the league, they kind of give us all a little bit of a spark. I feel like they have this like new wave attitude towards the game and how they carry themselves. And a lot of our rookies, I can't speak for other rookies in the league this year, but a lot of our rookies are having, they have like such a willingness to learn and get better, and they're asking questions, and that's actually really refreshing. And they're asking the older players questions because they want to learn so much. And I appreciate that, and I value that, because it's enjoyable. I think, I don't know for you, I see you out there, so I guess I can, you know, speak on this as well, but I know that we enjoy teaching a lot of the younger players too, and kind of holding their hand and bringing them along. But it's this like new wave attitude. I feel like it's this, just spark that they bring, and, their technical ability is a lot better than mine, at that age. And it's not always now just about who's the most athletic and fit player. It's actually, okay, do they have a good first touch, and can they pass from A to B? So it's enjoyable to see a lot of our younger players and the rookies really bringing that like technical piece into the game that I think we've been missing a lot over the years. And you could see that each team is changing. The league is changing more of a possession type oriented game rather than just a kick and run, and run around with your heads cut off and press the shit out of teams. And so there's still a little bit of that, but I feel like the rookies are really bringing that piece into it, which I really enjoy.
I love that. There's been a huge jump in investment in recent years. Ally has taken the lead and is pledging to spend equal paid advertising across women's and men's sports. Do you feel like there was a specific turning point in recent years when investors jumped on board? And what would be your pitch to new investors on why they should partner with the NWSL?
I think recently people are really seeing, just like you said, you look at new teams coming in, you see Angel City and San Diego, and how much investment there is towards these new franchises, and how many people are showing up, and how it's becoming the cool new norm to have these celebrities come in and buy these teams out. And it's creating the culture we want to, we need visibility. So with, mm-hmm, that, we need like really, really rich people like doing the right things, because I mean, there's something in the water in LA, but it's also probably because they're running a good business. Like I don't know, I'm not in that every day, but they're doing something right. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that professionalism transfers to the whole league. We continue to invest, you know, and get people bought into what we want to do and where we want to go, because we're so marketable. We're fun to watch. Soccer is such a huge sport in our country. There's just no reason why we keep failing. Like our leagues keep, we try and we fail. But like, if we actually have the proper investment and the longevity of these investments, and it's real freaking money, we'll make it work. And that's, I think, slowly what you're starting to see. And that's why more people like Ally are jumping in and being like, we believe in where they're going and we want to be a part of it.
Totally. I've been saying, we mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I feel like we're at a point now where investors like Ally are seeing this as a great business opportunity and saying, we're going to make money on this down the line. Mm-hmm. New owners are saying, we're going to make a fortune off this down the line. We're going to invest early and get in early. Whereas a few years ago, I felt like there was this like charitable component to women's soccer where people were like, do the right thing. They deserve it. All this like kind of good heartedness. And now I'm like, this is a business. This is a great business. And people who get it now are going to make a lot of money. I feel like that shift has come pretty recently.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that like you said, there needs to just be more like visibility. And like in the men's game, like I could be like scrolling through my TV and I didn't even know a game was on. And then I come across a game and I'm like, oh, well, I want to watch. Where right now we're like having a little bit of an issue with that is like, you absolutely have to know what network it's on, what, like it's not on your normal TV. So as the campaign says, more fans watching the game will change the game. What are the next two NWSL city, like two cities that NWSL should expand to?
I'll in start. Your opinion. I'll start. Yeah. I would love Go Miami ahead. To come in. So if David Beckham call me, if David Beckham wants to call me to get things rolling, I'm ready.
Just slip that right in there, lady.
I would love Miami. You have to have good cities to attract big players. Sorry. That's the reality. Like I can get a Sam Kerr in Miami.
Wherever I go, I want it to be like hot and beachy though. Like after living in like London where it's like condensed, like lots of buildings, like I don't see myself living in like the middle of America.
Well, you just set off bells for anybody, any coastal teams with beaches. People are going to be attacking you.
I'm not going to get her in Cincinnati. I'm just not. It's a fact. So, like for me, it's got to be like a Miami. I don't know where.
For me, I think like Nashville is such an attractive city.
Sam Kerr isn't going to Nashville.
I know, but I'm just saying that they did it right with the men. Like Austin, Nashville, like they're doing it right because they attract that type of player. I don't know. The city is just built for players that can, you know, enjoy their time there, whether you're like a young family or, you know, you're a rookie and you just want to go and enjoy your football, but also have a beautiful city to live in with lots to do and a lot of tourism and just a lot of different attractions. I really believe that Miami, for example, is a great one, but I do think Nashville or Austin, I watch their men's teams and I'm just like, the stadiums are beautiful. The facility has to be, you know, done right. And I feel like their ownership is wanting to have women's teams. You know, anywhere on the East Coast, like in Atlanta, Miami, Nashville, like that, those would be ideal spots for women's teams.
So no more West Coast.
I mean, we're East Coast girls. So we're
all the big cities. We got the LA. I mean, maybe San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Jose area. That could be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, Dallas would be a great location for a women's team too, because they have such a solid model for the men's side. That would be great as well.
Well, we're going to keep our eyes peeled for you two as future investors in a expansion team.
On that note, I think Sam, take it away.
We have 5 minutes left, girls. We are going to pepper you with some fun, random questions.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Amazing. You guys can just do as short of answers as you want. Who's your favorite player to watch that is not on your team?
And why is it me and Sam?
It probably is.
Who's your favorite player in the NWSL, right?
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Let's keep it local.
Let's keep it local.
Gosh, I don't know. I really enjoyed watching the younger players, especially now moving into the national team. So I would say Sophie Smith is so fun to watch right now. I think she's doing so well and she's so young and it's just nice to see her that successful.
Yeah.
At such a young age. Yeah. And we saw her at the very first camp And then now it's like, wow, you're just taking it all in and you're just now applying it to your game and you're thriving.
We had her on the podcast and she was wise beyond her years. She, I'm a huge fan. I love her.
Yeah, she was adorable.
Yeah.
I agree with that though. She's been really fun to watch. She's doing really, really well.
If someone plays soccer, what position will she play?
I would say she'd be like a holding mid or like a winger.
Probably a goalkeeper. I don't know. I got a good eye for these kind of things. She's kind of tall.
Yeah.
Is she tall?
You got to start them young.
She is.
She's 98th percentile with height and weight.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. They're all in the cheeks. Yeah. It's just all in the
I ball. Know. She her belly. You guys, her belly is so cute.
She is so cute.
Oh, so cute. Okay, what is something that the other person can't live without?
She can't live without me. Oh. And my cooking every night.
Yeah. She probably could.
Probably survive.
Mascara. She can't live without mascara. Yeah. Today after training, we had to do a video for Sue, and she was like, hold on, I can't film until I curl my eyelashes.
I looked terrible. It was like when you get off the field and you're just like, gosh, I need to do something.
Do you get them done or only mascara?
No, not anymore.
She's all mascara.
Yeah, I just have to give them a little curl. You know, they need to like, gorgeous. I need to look away.
Well, what can I not live without?
Probably, I would say me, but also, sparkling water.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Favorite
big,
kind.
Big fans.
Favorite
here.
Flavor.
Topo Chico.
Yeah. Or La Croix.
They can sponsor me. It can be an ad. Topo Chico, call me.
What is your favorite La Croix?
I think just the blue, the regs.
Pure.
Oh. Yeah, pure.
I'm so alarmed.
Your face went.
I know. I'm really, really alarmed. That is like so mature of you guys.
We're like so old.
Sam's drinking like limoncellos.
Years old.
You guys, buy a box of limoncello and tell me you go back to the blues.
Don't do it. It's disgusting. It's not disgusting, but it's just don't do it.
I mean, I'm open.
That's okay.
We'll report back.
We're open. Out. Okay, what dessert would the other person want on their birthday?
Ice cream cake.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And anything chocolate. Mm-hmm. You would probably do, she would want, what's the birthday cake? Like, what is it?
Funfetti.
Oh,
I love that. I don't like things out of
and
the
like
box.
And like chocolate chip cookies.
Unless it's funfetti.
She crushes chocolate chip cookies and funfetti.
Don't tell everyone my secrets.
I hear little snorting pigs down there. Can you?
We've got guard dogs growling in the background. We've got the sound like machine on behind us from the baby like monitor.
This is a TV show.
Yeah.
We know you guys. Yes. Oh my gosh.
I'm here. I'm Ashlyn Harris.
And I'm Allie Krieger. And you are listening to the Snacks Podcast
on Just Women in Sports.
And thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our show is produced by Just Women Sports, producers Lauren Day and Kat Maniatakis, and tech producer Parker Fenton. For more great sports content, go to justwomensports.com. Be sure to subscribe to the newsletter and follow along on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. I'm Sam Buis.
And I'm Lynn Williams. And you've been listening to Snacks.